Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 50 years of Women's Voices, Oral Histories of Moraine Valley. This particular event is a double celebration. First, Moraine Valley Community College has kicked off its 50th anniversary and is officially celebrating being rock solid since 1967. The college has experienced tremendous growth, both in physical space and enrollment, and has been a rock-solid foundation for its 26 communities for 5 decades. Woo-hoo! Okay. And second, March is Women's History Month, and what a wonderful way to celebrate Women's History Month with this event. I am honored to be the moderator for this awesome panel of women that you will get to meet very soon. They have contributed so much to Moraine Valley over the past 50 years. Whether it was in the early 1970s, where one of our panelists, Dr. Fritz, was one of the early proponents and supporters of the Returning Women's Program, or Dr. Jenkins and Dr. Lehner, who sponsored and developed the first Women's Leadership Conference on Moraine's campus. I hope you will be as inspired as I have been hearing about their history and what they have accomplished at Moraine Valley. So let me first introduce myself and then each of these wonderful women. I'm Dr. Linda Brandt, a counseling faculty member, part of the Counseling and Career Development Center. I started Moraine Valley fresh out of my master's program at the ripe old age of 24. So I have been here over 40 years. Oh my God. Student development and student success has always been at the forefront of my career. And as counselors, we really assist students trying to enhance and facilitate their education and helping them to be successful. With colleagues, I've developed classes like career planning, healthy romantic relationships, and I was one of the people that founded what used to be called the Learning Development Support System, which has evolved into the Center for Disability Services. And through wonderful sabbatical and educational opportunities, I earned my doctorate in clinical psychology, where I can use my expertise in helping students and faculty in managing what has become a rise of serious mental health issues on campus. But enough about me, let me introduce you to our panelists. First, we have Dr. Sylvia Jenkins, Moraine Valley Community College's 5th president. She is the first woman who has served in this role, a position she has accepted in 2012. She began her career at Moraine Valley in 1986 as an adjunct or part-time librarian. I mean, how cool is that? And became a full-time librarian in 1988. Dr. Jenkins was then selected to serve as the Assistant Dean of the Center for Teaching and Learning and Director of the Library in 2001. She was appointed Dean of Academic Development and Learning Resources 2 years later. Dr. Jenkins then served as Vice President for Academic Affairs, and then in 2012 became our president. What an incredible career. Over her 31 years here, she has received numerous college awards, including Master Teacher of the Year, Vernon O'Crawley Leadership Award. She's played an integral role in growing the college as chair and member of several strategic planning teams. Welcome, Dr. Jenkins. Next at the end, we have Margaret Lehner, Dr. Margaret Lehner. She is the Vice President for Institutional Advancement and the Executive Assistant to the President. She is the longest tenured employee at Moraine Valley, having worked at the college in various capacities since 1969. She clearly started working here at the age of 10. She spent many years in the classroom as a professor in the Communications and Literature Department, but has made a huge impact on the college on the administrative side as well. She has served as the Dean of Liberal Arts and Sciences, the Vice President of Academic Affairs, and in her current role as Vice President for Institutional Advancement. Dr. Lehner's work can be found all over the campus, as she has been a major player in the college's growth and development. She conceived the idea for the Fine and Performing Arts Center in the 1980s and chaired the committee to bring the venue to the campus and to our community. She currently sits on the Moraine Valley Foundation Board of Directors and serves as its secretary. Welcome, Dr. Lehner. Next is Dr. Sharon Fritz. She is one of the original faculty members at Moraine Valley, and this I did not know, Sharon. She was hired as a Spanish and political science teacher, but retired in 2002 as a professor of sociology and history. Dr. Fritz has fond memories of the college's early years when it used open concept classrooms. I remember this too, where the back of the rooms were open so anyone could stop and listen to lectures. Whether you were staff, plan operations, student, anybody could do that. The trend made for many interesting classes, but also helped build strong relationships among faculty and students. And most importantly, she met her husband, Dick Fritz, at the college. Welcome, Dr. Fritz. Last but not least is Lynette Staudinger, also one of Moraine Valley's original faculty members, teaching biology for 32 years. When she joined the biology department, she was the only woman. She relished being a role model for the young woman here on campus, and by the time she retired in 2000, women were the majority in her department. Professor Staudinger also moved as the college grew from warehouse classrooms to temporary buildings, Quonset huts, and eventually to one of the first permanent buildings on campus. Welcome, Ms. Staudinger. Our format for the next 45 minutes will be interspersing questions from me as moderator, hearing the panelists' responses, and watching some of the panelists' short videos. At the end, we'll have time for audience questions. So let's begin and watch our first set of videos with Dr. Jenkins and Ms. Staudinger's videos.
When I started in libraries, we were using card catalogs. A card catalog was actually a 3x5 card that you'd have to go to a drawer in alphabetical order to find out if a title of a book that you wanted to find was actually there. Well, lo and behold, one day we had a computer. So my job as a new librarian here was to do a video so we could teach people how to use what we called dumb terminals.
My name is Sylvia Jenkins, and I'm one of the librarians here at Moraine Valley Community College.
We did a little bit of video every day, but I had to wear the same red dress with the same scarf for 2 weeks. But it was fun.
To get more bibliographic information.
I started at Moraine Valley as a part-time librarian in December of 1986. And then 2 years later, there was a full-time faculty librarian position available, so I applied for that and stayed in the library, and the rest is history.
I accept the honor of being named the fifth president.
When I started at Moraine Valley, it wasn't the intent to become the college president. The intent was to do a good job in the job I was given. Many of the people who were here at the founding of the school were still here when I started. I learned a lot from them. So being the college's president is just a position that allows me to give more support to many, many people. My philosophy is I am Sylvia. Sometimes people forget who they are because of a title or a position that they may have, but I remind people I'm still the same person. Do I have different responsibilities? Yes, but I'm still the same person. And so my philosophy is I always want to treat people in a respectful way and be kind to them. And, you know, and I expect them to treat me the same way. If it wasn't for Moraine Valley Community College, some people may not have this opportunity for higher education. The value in Moraine is in the people that work here, and they use those resources to help others. And that's the whole primary purpose of us being here, is to help other people. We have 1,200 people who work here throughout the year who understand what it means to be here, what it means to work at Moraine Valley, and what it means to be a good colleague. I am so thankful that I work with a group of people who get that. And so it gives me great joy to be able to come to a job that I love, to work with people that I love, and to work around people that understand the purpose of a community college. And I think it's no greater joy in life than when you can help other people and you can see people succeed, and sometimes they come back and they say thank you. So that means a lot to me.
I taught here 32 years. I went in for my interview, and they only had a half-time position in biology. And then from the second year on, I was in general biology. We added some other classes, you know, botany and invertebrate zoology and zoology. So I taught all of those. The very first lab we did in botany, how we got our plants was we went across the street to the cemetery and we loaded up our arms. Now, we did not steal anything off the graves. But, you know, when the things are getting a little droopy, they had a dumping area. And so we would go in there and there would be a fresh rose or a chrysanthemum or something. So we would take that. I got a very small plant and I had it in my home. I probably got it in the early 70s. It kept growing and growing and I put it in a bigger pot and a bigger pot. And then finally it reached the ceiling in my house. So I brought it in into my office over in the A building. When I retired in 2000, I couldn't take the plant with me because it was much bigger then. And so I was so delighted to find that in this plant room in the Crawley building, the plant is still here. I came back on campus in October and I walked through my lab and I went and walked through the animal room and the plant room and visited with some people. I loved the job, thought that was really important, especially to be a role model for young women, because when I joined the biology department, I was the only woman. And then by the time I retired 32 years later, women were a majority in the department. It's just so awesome, and I'm so proud that this college has done so well.
So what you'll notice about each of these wonderful women is the spirit and commitment that each of them brought to the college. So just great. But okay, are you ready? First question is, in your experience, when was a defining moment of change for women on campus?
Well, first of all, good morning, everybody. Thank you all for being here today. And a number of you in the audience I work with every day, so thank you for taking the time to come and listen to us talk today. And there's a young man here in the audience today who was actually at a program we hosted here last night on campus. So here's another Mr. Swanson. Mr. Swanson, he was here last night. My Rotary hosted a domestic violence conference over in the T building, and he introduced himself and told me about how wonderful the people in the library are. So yay to the librarians. And thank you for coming back today. There are so many things that I can say. You know, and when I came to Moraine in 1986, honestly, I never felt that women were treated differently because of the women that I worked with were very strong, powerful, dedicated women. And three of them are here sitting with me today. One of the first opportunities I had on campus outside of working in the library was actually on the Faculty Development Committee. And back in that day, it was called the Faculty and Evaluation Committee. I mean, we did everything, right? That committee did everything. Yeah. And Margaret and Sharon were on the committee. Matter of fact, Sharon actually was the faculty development chair. Talk in the mic. Okay. See, this is what old people do. But I want to tell you a little bit more personal story. You know, I was telling Sharon, what a nice thing about working at Moraine and working with so many wonderful women is that raising children working here at Moraine is when you realize that these women had it together. So I would come to work, and my children didn't seem to have it together, but I would talk to Sharon, and her children didn't have it together. So then I felt much better about it, you know, felt much better about it. But this was a place where I grew up, where I learned about who I was and the opportunities that were given to me as a young woman with a family, but I could balance work and home. And was it easy? No, it wasn't easy, but I had wonderful role models. When our oldest daughter got married, Sharon did all of the melting the wax on the favors for the shower. You remember that, Sharon?
In the library.
In the library. when things were so tough some days and I didn't know what to say, Dick Fritz said to me, Sylvia, I'll be your designated cursor. Okay, so they knew I didn't use profanity, but Dick did, okay? So I became like part of the family there. So Sharon helped with the motherly stuff, and Dick helped with the other stuff. You know? But it's been just a wonderful place. And so many of you here in the audience, women that I work with still every day, show us that we can do this. Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but we can do this. But we do it as we support one another. Support one another. So when did the change happen? I think it's always been a good place for women. Now, Margaret and Lynette and Sharon were here when I came. So that they were very good role models for me. They may have had different experiences because they were like some of the first people to come. So anyone want to pick that up?
I just have a couple of comments, being mother. No. It was, I believe, at the very beginning, or at least it only took about a year, before the counseling staff and the faculty recognized what apparently was statistically correct, which was that in the communities that we represented, families with money sent their boys away to college. And if the girls or the women got to go at all, they came here. So the upshot of that was that for many of us, some of the brightest stars in our classroom were the women. And it was a wonderful opportunity for them, which they would not otherwise really have gotten. And the Returning Women's Program, which was started a few years in, was really an opportunity. Many women have been through the program and made a great deal of success of themselves. And it did allow us also to work together, which was good. Now, about staff experiences and working experiences, for me, the big change and the only thing that really made it better, I too was the only woman in a department of all men, but the only thing that really made it better in the end was when the Moraine Valley Union, the Faculty Association, was established. Sorry. But
okay, so I was the treasurer of the union for a few years.
So it's okay. But establishing rules of fairness and seniority and ways in which things got done that took people's needs into account changed the whole picture. Both Lynette and I, in the early years, had the experience of being denied the opportunity to work in summer school, although we had seniority, but we could not because there were men with families and they had to come first. So thank you, Faculty Association.
Let me just continue with what Sharon said. Not only was it considered that the men should get the extra employment in the summertime, but also that they were given priority in other areas. And we found that the union equalized that and helped to, you know, we didn't have to fight so hard for it.
I'd like to give you a little historical perspective of the men who helped to, establish and the first administrators on Moraine's campus. While there were people that came from community colleges here, most of the people that were involved in the community college movement came from high schools. And they came with a hierarchy in high schools where men are the ones with the superintendents. They were the ones that were the principals. They were the department chairs. Yes, in the elementary schools, you could be a woman and you could be the principal, all right? But I guarantee you, you weren't the superintendent. That philosophy came here to Moraine Valley in those early years because the people, the men that were here, came from that hierarchical experience. And women were not considered for administrative positions in those early years. The only female administrator on the Moraine campus was the Dean of Allied Health. And that's because that position had to be a nurse. There were no male nurses at that time available for such a position. That's why it was held by a woman. Everyone else's position was held by a man. It really wasn't until the 80s that real change in those positions started to take place. And that was when a new president came on board, Fred Gaskin. And he encouraged both minorities and women to take positions of leadership at that time. In the late 80s, I became the first female vice president of the college. So it took from 1967 until 1987 for a female to have an officer position on this campus. But we were strong women. We were fighters. We came here in the three of us came here in the 60s and 70s when the women's liberation movement was taking effect, and we were at the forefront of that. We fought for our rights, and the Moraine Valley Faculty Association helped with that greatly in equalizing what was going on campus. And so we are grateful to that, and we have a wonderful relationship with the Faculty Association up to this day. So in the beginning it wasn't that way because the powers that be at that time did not want to unionize, but it has a very great and equalizing effect on our campus today. So with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Very interesting. So what we'd like to do now is show the video for Dr. Lehner.
I came here when I was 24 years old. There was no sign that said Moraine Valley Community College. So I drove up and down 111th Street looking for a college. And then I drove up and down 88th Avenue and all I saw were homes. And I was really getting nervous because the time for my interview was fast approaching and the last thing I wanted to do was be late for a job interview. When I saw a man standing on 88th Avenue waving his arms in the air. And I saw, oh, a person. So I stopped my car. He said, are you Margaret? And I said, yes, I am. He said, I'm Tom Zmanzel. He was the associate dean at the time who was interviewing me for the position. He said, come on, it's in here. And that's how I found the campus. If Tom hadn't been standing there, I'd probably still be traveling up and down 88th Avenue.
What we're going to do.
I've been here since August of 1969. Over the years, Moraine Valley has given me a vast number of opportunities. It gave me the opportunity to be a part of something that was new and to build something from scratch. I went from a professor of communications and literature to dean of liberal arts, to dean of liberal arts and sciences, to vice president of academic affairs, and then came back as vice president for institutional advancement. It's been my life. I met my husband here. My friends were developed here. My children took courses here at the college. It's been the very fabric of my life.
I love the variety of the jobs that I've had. When I come here, it's never the same every day. It's always something different. New people to meet, new challenges, new opportunities. I have never, ever woken up in the morning and not wanted to be here. I love this place. Why would I go any other place? And that's the decision I made early on, and I've never, ever regretted it.
What were some of the significant barriers in your career as a woman, and do you think they still exist? Who wants to start us off here?
Okay. Yes, there were barriers, as I've indicated in the beginning. In fact, the second president of the college really didn't think women were really a fit for administrative positions. And so that didn't mean that the women on campus didn't exert their leadership, because even though we might not have been in the upper echelons of the administration or at the dean's level of the administration, we still had great influence here. As faculty members, as members of committees, we drove the curriculum, we drove the programs here, we drove the innovation with our male colleagues who were very, very supportive of us, our fellow faculty members. And the younger members of the male population in the administration too were very supportive of us. When it came to the 80s, when things started to break open, the opportunities started to happen. I know when I had my first opportunity to go into administration, I'm not so sure I wanted to at that time, but I was offered a position that really was a staff position, but it really wasn't a fit for me. And very often I'll tell women or anyone who is going for a job, just don't take a job because it's offered for you. It has to be a good fit for you. And so I held out, and then I was offered the position of Dean of Liberal Arts, which I accepted, and I absolutely loved that position. And at that time, as the barriers started to break down, women started to take over leadership positions in the college. And now, if you take a look at the executive leadership team, we have Dr. Sylvia Jenkins, we have Dr. Norma Celle-Baron, we have Dr. Pamela Haney, and myself up there. And we have our wonderful male colleagues who are also with us that offer our balance on our team as well. But you can see a big difference from the beginning years to what we have today. But you know, breaking down barriers helps you build character. It helps develop leadership. In every phase of life, there are going to be challenges. I'm glad that I was with a group of people that were willing to take on those challenges and say, no, the status quo is not what we desire. We are going to fight, and we are going to get where we want. So are things equal across the board in the United States? No. We still have glass ceilings. There's still a lot of fighting and to do. But I feel confident that we will get there. History has proved us.
What I found in the early years was many of both administrators and faculty would be condescending to women, and particularly would not listen to what we had to say. So I learned that I just became a broken record and repeated over and over the point that I was trying to make. I mean, there was resentment among my colleagues for the fact that in my family I brought in a second income. And, you know, I never quite understood that, why that should be an issue, but it would come up
frequently. Now, do I think these things still exist? They certainly still exist. They're just much more subtle. And it makes for a much more pleasant atmosphere. And by the time I finished at Moraine, I felt I was treated as a total equal among my colleagues and administrators. So there was a lot of advancement at Moraine, and not as much in society as a whole.
I'm going to answer that question in a little bit different perspective. A lot of you know I grew up in Louisiana, and I tell the story all the time that even though Brown versus Board of Education passed in 1954, unfortunately the town I grew up in didn't hear about it until 1969. So, but that's okay. I had very supportive parents and school. So when you talk about barriers and being a female and being an African-American female, it's kind of, in sometimes it's been a double whammy. And I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of young people who are going through their doctoral dissertations. As Don knows, I'll get calls and say, you know, we're looking for African-American women leaders, and the questions they always ask me is, what barriers did you face? And so what I say to them is, there are going to be barriers regardless of who you are. But if you don't put yourself in a box, and you say to yourself, if the opportunity is there and I prepare myself, I should be given a chance. And fortunately, I ended up in a place like Moraine Valley where the women before me had already paved the way. However, we still had some situations where we were not given equal voice. And there's still times now, even as a college president, I am in situations where I can say something and it's almost like I didn't say it at all. But does that bother me? Those of you in the room who know me, who've been with me for 30 years, know I just say it anyway, right? Just say it anyway. And you just keep saying it because if it's something you believe in, you just do it and do it. But don't ever allow gender or race or culture or anything to prohibit you from accomplishing the goals that you have. You can always find somebody who will be there to support you and to help you. And so that's been my experience. And so I just wanted to share that, especially for the young women who are here in the room, because I know sometimes you might second guess yourself, or you might say, well, this is as much as I possibly can do. Don't limit yourself. Take those opportunities as they become available to you.
Thank you. Sharon, anything you wanted to add?
No, pretty much I agree with everything that's been said, and especially Margaret's explanation about the first administrators. And again, I do think those barriers probably still exist. The most important thing is, as Sylvia said, you just keep asking. You become perhaps, from my own background, obnoxiously persistent and a little over assertive, but that may be the only way that you can achieve being heard. And at Moraine Valley, it was, in fact, after the first few years, easier to be heard. So in that sense, I think that it has been a kind of, well, it has always been a great place to work, but it's not, it's the, in some cases, the exception. I'm not altogether sure if you went into another area with this kind of size, given this kind of size, that you would have that kind of success. But the barrier was just being female. So, not gonna say.
Thank you. And I think something that was alluded to also, the barrier of being a woman and balancing family and career. And one thing that's clear from some of the things that you've said is how one of the ways we were able to manage it was the support that you got from your fellow colleagues, women, whether it was comparing, what did your kid do today versus mine? So that's really nice. All right, let's look at our third video. Thank you.
A student several years ago was in one of my career planning classes, and you could tell that she was really struggling with some personal issues. After the class, she asked if she could come and continue talking with me, and then, you know, over time, you could just see that she really was gaining confidence and new perspectives and really coming into her own. She ended up going on and getting her master's degree in social work. Her mother saw that and saw how it really improved her daughter and made her happier and more successful. So the mother decided to come back to school, and she's now finishing her nursing degree. And last spring, the sister came in to talk with me because she was really undecided.
I'm working with one of your students, and
the expression is, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, for this family, Moraine, right, is their village. And I think for so many students, Moraine becomes their village, their family, to really provide that foundation and encouragement to succeed. When you touch somebody's soul like that, it is an honor and a privilege, and then you watch them grow. And there's nothing better than that. We all feel like we're working towards the same mission and goal. We all want to have an important impact on people's lives, whether it's the students or the community. It's that relationship, I think, between students, faculty, staff, administration. When you get to touch their hearts, is sometimes just the nourishment that they need to grow and become who they need to be.
Right, here we go.
I have been here a little over 42 years. I started in 1974. This has been such a huge part of my life. When I think about retiring, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, what I'm gonna do. I think it's gonna be like ripping a part of me away, you know, and I don't know what I'm gonna replace it with. It's gonna be really hard. Yeah, Moraine and I, we are just enmeshed. It's going to be really hard.
All right, our last question for everybody is, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently, if anything?
You know, I think I might have been a little more assertive, which some people might laugh at, but because, you know, starting here in 68, I was more assertive than most women are, and some of the men could adapt to that, a lot of them, you know, we're unable to adapt to that. But it's sort of the only way that you can move forward. And, you know, I felt at the time when I was working here, because I always loved this place. And one thing you need to remember about is when we started our classes, there were 30 faculty and 1,000 students. And so when you see, you know, today, And I think that the cohesiveness of the early faculty was helped immensely by the fact that there were so few of us, you know, that the whole group could get together in a bar if we wanted to. And in fact, there's one group.
And we did.
It was our younger years. In fact, there is a group of Moraine men plus my husband who meet every Thursday night at various bars in the area. And that has been going on for 40 some years. Well, maybe, I don't know if it started the first year. It may have started the first year. And I suppose women could drop in if they wanted to, but it's, you know, men only.
I've been thinking about this question since I saw it. About what I would have done differently. I can't really think of anything, especially from the early years. Again, Moraine, even then, had a wonderful feeling of togetherness. As Lynette said, 30 faculty members, we knew everybody. We knew most of the students because, again, there were so few of them. And all of that was a really valuable experience. And I have to say that there were many administrators, but particularly those in the counseling area who were very sympathetic and encouraging, and that helped when we crossed over to areas in committees and in trying to get things done. And I think that shared experience and being, in some cases, mentored by some of those people was really useful. But I'm not sure that, and I wouldn't change that. So I guess my answer is probably nothing.
I too, you know, when I looked at this question, looked back and said, would I have done anything differently? Well, of course, there are decisions, small decisions you make during your life. They say, well, if I went back, I would do something. But overall, as I look at the gestalt of the situation, originally I thought I was going to be a high school English teacher. And then when I went out to look for jobs, and I was offered jobs at four different high schools in the Chicagoland area, and then Moraine Valley, it was a decision that I made that really significantly impacted my life. I wasn't quite sure what a community college was, but I saw an opportunity to help start something from nothing. And I'm sure you all know that famous poem by Robert Frost, you know, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. And I really feel that pathway that I took, I would not do anything differently. I would take that pathway. I've truly enjoyed my professional life here at Moraine Valley, as you saw on the tape. My private life, I married a faculty member here, and of course that made all the difference too. And I have two wonderful children that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't come to Moraine Valley. So all said, this Moraine Valley has been extremely good to me. It has been my home, it has been my family, and as I said, why would I do anything differently?
You know, honestly, if you think about it, I probably couldn't have planned it any better if I tried. You know, couldn't have planned it any better, and it's not a plan that you make when you're 20, I'll be honest with you, but since it happened to me, I'm thankful that it did. I'm thankful that it did. If anything, maybe I would have done differently if I could have done it, is maybe get my doctorate earlier. The ladies here are the reasons why I went back to school. Margaret said to me one day, Sylvia, you know, you have the ability, but you got to get that piece of paper. You know, Sharon had her piece of paper. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, all right. So faculty members, you get 60 credit hours, you get to A-Lane, correct? So when Troy came, I said to Troy, you have to get 60 credit hours. Go get your doctorate. You might as well get a doctorate. So finally it dawned on me after many other one credit hour classes I took for how many years to go and get the doctorate. So I would say to young people, if you plan to stay in education, you want to advance, then that's one of the things that you should consider doing. Go ahead and go to school. Now, when I finally did get to go to school, our youngest daughter, who was still in high school at the time, every time I got to Colorado, she would say, there's no food in the refrigerator. So I'd say, you have a father, ask him to buy you some food. You know, so, but otherwise, my life, you know, think about it. My mother's 93 years old, and she reminds me every day how blessed I am. So I just want to say it's been a blessed life, very, very much so.
Well, thank you, ladies, and let's give them a round of applause. It's really been wonderful to hear your stories. It's really enriched, I think, all of us. So
I have the mic back here. I know, Linda, you said you wanted to move on to some questions at the end.
Yeah, we have time for maybe two or three
questions. I just want to say also thank you to our event organizers, Linda, for helping organize this event, Jessica, Adrian. Thank you so much for putting this together in the library for Women's History Month and to remember a little bit about Moraine Valley's history. So if you have a question, please raise your hand. I'll bring you the mic. I know we have some questions out here. I have a question, so I'll just steal the mic myself. You know, as a new female administrator at the college, I'm very excited to be at Moraine Valley. What do you see for the future of women at Moraine Valley? What do you want to see? What do you want to see happen for the ladies that work here? What's your goals?
Well, I'll say what I want for all of the employees who work here is that we continue what was started 50 years ago. You know, sometimes I have conversations with people in the office and say, as we hire new people, I'm hopeful that the new people who come have the same love for Moraine Valley as the people who were before us, who came before us. And because it takes a lot to manage and run a place like Moraine Valley, but it especially you need to have people who are dedicated to the purpose. You know, everybody needs a job, I understand that. But you know, this job is different. We are here to help so many different types of people who are looking for a better life, to be able to educate themselves. So my hope is that all of our employees keep in mind why they're here and to support each other. You know, it's very easy to be critical of what decisions are made, but unless you're sitting in that seat, you don't understand why those decisions are made sometimes. So rather than being critical or being, you know, demeaning toward the person making the, go and ask them. You say, well, why'd you make that decision? You know, thankfully I have Dawn who answers my phone and she can decide whether or not I want to answer that question or not. And she does an amazing job doing it. So, before I leave here today, I have to say thank you to the women I work with every day. Margaret mentioned the women who work upstairs, Pamela, Norma, Margaret, myself, but we also have Dawn and Ivana and Karen and Veronica and Kathy, and then Bob has Debbie and Cam has, this Cam's Laura, and all of the women. I mean, you know, I see so many of you sitting in this room. Before I went over to D Building, I had Sue and Jane. I mean, oh my gosh, you know, talk about a blessed life, okay? So, you know, you come to work some days and your clothes don't look right. You know, they don't care. It's all good. Okay, I'm talking. No.
Thanks. Does anybody else want to add anything? Answer Tara's question now?
I have a question back here. Yep.
Any other questions? Yeah.
I just want to ask you, ladies, what advice would you give to young people even as they go out in the world? And, you know, we're having all these conversations and the movements on women's rights, and we've been seeing what's been going on in society. And we talk about Moraine sometimes being the exception, but for a lot of our young people, there were certain things they were born into, so they haven't seen some of the struggle. And now we see some of these issues coming back up. So what advice would you, who have lived through some of the struggles and continue to, what advice would you give to young women as they go out and try to conquer the world?
I think they need to engage. I mean, you can't have a decision, you can't have an opinion, I'm sorry, and expect to express it unless you're willing to move behind it, unless you're willing to do something about it. So if you're concerned, if you have any concerns, you need to get behind those, you need to find a path, you need to find a way to try and do something about it, no matter how small. But you do need to engage. You can't just do what retirees do and sit in my chair and read. not when you're young, get to do that later. That would be my advice.
I have just one word: persistence. You engage and then you persist.
Sorry. Okay. The word is persistence. You just need to be persistent, and you know, if it's not working the way you're approaching it, then try another way, but you can't give up on it. And after a while, they just sort of get tired of seeing you come back, and you get your way.
A
part of that persistence is you need to be vigilant. You need to, you know, take a look at that environmental scan out there. Take a look at what's going on and make sure you're aware of it, because things can happen before you know. And then, of course, persist. You know, you need to speak up. You need to be vocal, because no one else is going to do it for you. You need to do it for yourself. And that's one of the lessons that we learned from the women's movement. No one was going to do it for us. We needed to do it for ourselves. And I wore pearls today, okay? And I wore them for a reason, because we have taken the pearls with the apron to the pearl with the business suit. And that has been, and we have had both power in our homes. Don't think women didn't rule the royal from their homes. They did, all right? And I give hats off and everything to those women that came before us, because they are the ones that laid the foundation for us. And then when the women's liberation started to take place, I know that my mother and our mothers were pushing us too. They were glad to see what was happening. You can't let it die. You've got to constantly be vigilant. You can't let it slide back. And what's going on in the world today, in the United States today, is a wake-up call. And we need to heed that call, and we need to be vigilant and persistent, and we need to take that baton and go forward.